Tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Tonight is Deacon Night. And tonight, I don't so much want to preach to you as I do want to teach tonight. Can I do that? Okay. That's the idea of this message. And we're going to talk, and most of you have heard this and heard it and heard it. But it's something we need to go back over for those that have already studied this. And for those of you who have not, it's something we need to instill in you. And that's the truth of God's Word, 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. And tonight the subject is deacons. Will you stand as we read from the Word of God? Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jamie, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. A deacon. The very word itself means servant. It means helper. And first, I want to begin by saying that the deacon or the office of a deacon is not a position of power. It's not a position of prestige. A deacon has no more authority than every member of this church. Okay? And a lot of people look at it like, well, the deacons, you know, they're kind of in the hierarchy of the church. There is no hierarchy in the church. Right? There's just Christ the head, and then there's servants underneath. And so, if anyone tells you that the deacon is some special office of responsibility and authority in the church, they have not read 1 Timothy chapter 3. Having said that, what a deacon is a servant. And for a deacon, if you want to know what it takes to be a deacon, well, we're going to talk about that tonight, but it begins with a servant's heart. A deacon starts by loving people and caring for people. The beginning of the office of deacon is found in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And you can read that a little later, but I'm going to give you a synopsis or a rundown of what happened there. It says in Acts chapter 6 that the number of disciples were multiplying, that church in Jerusalem was growing. And that sounds great, but with that growth, the natural thing happened, and that is that there was a problem. A complaint grew at that church in Jerusalem, and the complaint was that certain widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food in the church there. And so, of course, the blame for that neglect went to the apostles of Jesus Christ, right? And they I guess, kind of inherited the job of making sure that the widows were taken care of. And so when these widows were not taken care of, they pointed at the apostles. And you know, there are some things a pastor has no business doing. Do you know that? There are some things that's not the pastor's job. The pastor's job in a church must be to feed the sheep. That's what God has called him to. That's what his position is. And that's what should be expected of him. But somehow the apostles there, they were responsible for this taking care of the widows. And so when there was a problem, the blame came to them. And the disciples said, it's not desirable or it's not appropriate for us to be in this position. But what you need to do, and they were speaking to the church there at Jerusalem, they said, what you need to do is pick out seven men. Seven men of good reports, seven men that you can trust, and let them take care of this matter. And meanwhile, we'll dedicate ourselves to prayer and ministry of the Word. That's where the office of deacon started. And guess what happened? Those seven men are named and they fill that office appropriately. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 7, here was the result. The word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Okay? Now there are a lot of people that would ask the question, do we really need deacons today? I think if we're going to be a growing church that's thriving, we need to do it the way that they did it in the Bible. Right? And they did it right in Acts chapter 6. They did it right, and guess what? But as a result of doing it right, the church grew and multiplied. And that's what I want for Victory. And I pray that's all our desire for Victory. And so if that is our desire, the question, do we really need deacons? The answer is yes, because they will take care of things that the pastor has no business focusing his attention on. And I praise God for our deacons. I can tell you without reservation, I have felt nothing but support from our deacons. Okay? And for that, I'm very, very appreciative, but I also know this about our deacons, that they're stretched about as far as they can be stretched. Okay? And by that, I mean, we do deacon families at Victory. And that means each deacon has a group of families that they're assigned to. Now, I haven't looked lately, but the last time I checked, every deacon had at least 20 families, and some had more than that. And you know what? That deacon, as he serves, he's making a living. He has the same family responsibilities, the same work responsibilities as everybody else. And it's just not very realistic for a deacon to be able to minister well to 20 to 25 families. So my prayer as we look at this tonight is that God will send relief to our deacons by making men willing and even desiring to be servants to the families in this church. Because ultimately, I think each deacon should have about 10 families. Well, there are 500 and something members of Victory. I don't know how that breaks down into families, but I know that we've got to have more deacons. Okay? And for us to have more deacons, we have to have more willing hearts. People who desire to serve. And I've heard people say, and I've heard this statement the whole time I've been in ministry. As a matter of fact, I pastored a church one time where no one was willing to be a deacon. Because, and their response to that was, well, I just seen people mess that up so bad, I don't want to be one of those. Listen, just because you've seen people do it wrong does not mean that the office is no good. Right? Have you ever seen a doctor wrong? You didn't wipe out the whole medical community because a doctor didn't do it right, did you? No. I've also heard people say, I can be a deacon, or I can do the things a deacon does without ever being ordained into that office. I've heard numerous through the years, multiple people make that statement. You know what I've discovered? Yes, they can do the same things and minister the same way a deacon would, but they don't. Amen. You know why? Because they're not a deacon. It's one of those that everybody's job becomes nobody's job. So as we look at this, I want you to understand the office of a deacon is not some office that they're trying to put you in a powerful position. It's very simply a servant. Having a heart to serve and to love people. That's what a deacon is to be. And as a deacon, Paul goes, in writing to Timothy, he said, here's what deacons must strive to be. First of all, he said, it must be that a deacon must be reverent. That means worthy of respect. He is a representative of the Lord's church, and what he does will reflect on the church. And so understand it is important that you reflect well, just as a pastor should reflect well, or associate pastor, or any church member, because the bottom line is we all reflect upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the conduct that we do in our life. He must be a man of dignity, a man worthy of respect. That's what reverent means. And he must be a man that's not double-tongued. I like that word, double-tongued. It means two-faced. Saying one thing, but being another. Here's a challenge for deacons. Because of the misconception of what the office of a deacon is, oftentimes church members run to a deacon thinking it's their job to tell the deacon everything that's wrong with the church. And so the deacon, in misunderstanding his job, thinks it's his position to agree with them. As a deacon, you're not a politician. You're not there to tell people what they want to hear. You're there to simply serve and to be a blessing. And so, as a deacon, you start by speaking the truth in love. The Bible says, this says, not given to much wine. I've heard, and again, this is all the time that I've been in ministry, I've heard people say, and they say it jokingly, the preacher can't have any wine, but the deacons can have a little because that's what it says. Well, I'm here to set the record straight. All right? Actually, if you want a literal translation, and let's translate it literal. All right? In the qualifications of a pastor, a literal translation would read like this, that a pastor should not be addicted to wine. And a literal translation of the deacon would say that a deacon not have wine much. So actually, my requirement is that I can't be an alcoholic. I can have more than the deacons. Right? No. But that is a literal translation, okay? No. Here's the thing. I know, and I've told you this before, that there is nowhere in the Bible that it says, thou shalt not have wine. I know that. But there is repeated warnings that says, you want to stay clear of it. One is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. What is that telling me? It will take you down a road you don't want to go down. Leave it alone. Stay away from it. Number one, it messes with your testimony. If a pastor or a deacon goes into the liquor store, somebody's going to see you. And I've discovered that it does not matter where I go in the United States of America, I will ultimately see somebody that knows somebody that I know. Amen. And they will see me. Same way with a deacon. Deacons, leave it alone. Because it reflects upon your testimony. And that's not the testimony you want to share with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Not given to much wine. Not greedy for money. The idea there is pursuing dishonest money. Greedy. That you can't get enough of the almighty dollar. Listen, there's more joy to life than money. It's not all about what you get. And a deacon cannot be greedy. And here is a very important one. Holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. That word holding means to hold on to something with your hand. A deacon is a man who will hold on to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what comes. You know what a deacon cannot be? He can't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. He can't be wishy-washy. People have got to know that this is a man who loves the Lord. And so he has to set an example. Did you know I believe deacons should be here every service? Okay? Just listen to the pastor. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why? Because it sets the example. And I said from the beginning, a deacon is not an authority position. But when you adopt these characteristics, or when you have these characteristics, what's going to happen in the life of a deacon? He's going to become a church leader. Because people are going to look at his example and say, here's a man you can follow. So even though it's not an office that has church authority, if you will, it is an office of leadership, because as you display these good character qualities, people are going to follow. Let that man be tested. I like this one. That word tested means proven, examined. And the idea is that a deacon will have demonstrated the qualities that we've been through here for everyone to see. I think this is probably where we get the idea of questioning at an ordination. Have you ever seen deacons or pastors, for that matter, questioned at an ordination? And I think that's where this comes from. That's not the idea of this. The idea of this is that before a man becomes a deacon, you watch that man as a church. You see the lifestyle of that man. You see the example of that man. Will he be perfect? Absolutely not. None of us are. But he has to be a man who lives what he says he believes. He has to be a man that will set an example for the rest of the church to see. Let him be tested. That means before it comes to the ordination, you better know the kind of man that you're ordaining. Right? We go on. This is the good part. We're going to sweep right through this. The wife of a deacon. The wife of a deacon is to be reverent. Meaning worthy of respect. I find it interesting that the pastor's wife is not addressed, but the deacon's wife is. I don't have an answer for that. That's just an observation. The wife of a deacon must be worthy of respect. She can't be a slanderer, it says. That word slanderer, the Greek word is diablos. Do you know what that is? Devil. A deacon's wife can't be a devil. A slanderer. A person that would say false things and tear down another individual. She has to be temperate or self-controlled, able to control what she says, able to control what she does, able to control herself in every aspect. Why? Because not only will people be watching a deacon, people will be watching a deacon's wife. Faithful in all things, meaning trustworthy. A deacon's wife has to be trustworthy. A deacon must also, verse 12, be the husband of one wife. Now, we covered this last week, but I'm going to go over it once again so that you understand. This I think it to be an unfortunate translation. Literally, it says, deacons, they are one woman men. Meaning one woman. And I bring this out because, you know, for years this was taught that a man can't be divorced and be a deacon, or a man can't be divorced and be a pastor. Well, the thing is, yes, there may be times as a man goes through that he shouldn't be a pastor or a deacon. However, I know literally what this means is he can't be a womanizer. Pastor can't be a flirt. A deacon can't be a flirt. I know people who believe this to be one woman at a time also. Or one wife at a time. I'm not sure that's the whole idea. I'm convinced that one woman man means not a womanizer. Period. Not a flirt. We go on. He must rule his house and his children well. There in verse 12. The husbands of one wife ruling their children and their own houses well. Now once again, as you look at this and you think, well, a deacon's kids are supposed to toe the line. No, deacon's kids are like everybody else's kids. The idea here is, yes, that the father provide correction. That the father, the deacon, provide leadership in his home. Godly leadership. Meaning that deacon should take his kids to church. Even when they don't want to go. You're the leader as a deacon. Take your kids to church. I promise you it will never hurt them to do something they don't want to do, especially to come to church. I recall as a young man, I told my mom and daddy I didn't want to go to church that day. And you know where I went that day? To church. And it didn't scar me. It didn't hurt me. It's called leadership. It's called spiritual leadership. That's the idea of a deacon as well as a pastor, as well as a church member. If you're a father, you should be the spiritual leader of your home. See, here's what happens when a man displays these qualities, these characteristics. It says, those who have served well as deacon obtain for themselves good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. What happens as a deacon? Well, when you fulfill these godly characteristics, people will begin to trust you. You will have earned their trust. You will have earned their respect. And you will become a church leader. Why? Because you've set the example. It's amazing how people will follow those who live what they say they believe. And they will. These have to be the characteristics of a deacon. Not the qualifications. Because qualifications would indicate if you messed up in any one of these, that you were no longer qualified. But Paul is passing along to Timothy. Timothy, these are the kind of men you're looking for. And as you instruct these men, this is what these men have to strive to be. Just like in the office of a pastor. My prayer is that Victory Baptist Church will have men that have a servant's heart. Because as the church grows, you know what I'm discovering? As the church grows, we need more and more deacons. And I pray that God will give our men willing hearts. Does that mean that you have to be perfect to be a deacon? Absolutely not. None of us are. But you have to be respected and respectable. You have to set an example. And you have to have a desire to serve people. That's the bottom line of what a deacon is. The very word itself means to serve or wait tables. I pray that as the church grows and as God adds to this church and we seek out more deacons, if you're ever approached, and ask to pray about it. Don't let your first thought be, no, not me. No, not me. Don't let that be your first thought. Okay? Sincerely pray about it. Sincerely understand what the position is. It's very simply loving and taking care of people. And certainly, if you pray and God says, no, that's not right for you right now, then don't you dare, you know, don't you dare accept the position. Don't you say, no, it's not for me right now. But just because it's not right for you right now or a year ago does not mean that that's not what God has for you in a year. Okay? Don't dismiss the office and automatically say no until you have prayed and you've sought the Lord. I don't preach this message tonight because we're seeking deacons. I don't. Okay? We're not right now. But I want you to be well informed that when we do, that you will openly consider the leadership of God and be ready to love and serve people. All right? All right. Now, as we close, I want to offer this. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? If not, Jesus Christ loves you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary for your sin so that you could have eternal life. You know what? I'm going to live forever. Are you? And you know why I'm going to live forever? And it's not because of anything I've done. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's because Jesus Christ died for me upon the cross of Calvary, paying my sin debt, and I've called upon Him, making Him my Savior. Amen. Have you done the same? If you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? If you can't say heaven, this invitation is for you. Maybe you're here and there's another need in your life. I'll be glad to have prayer with you during this invitation. Whatever your spiritual need is, I would just suggest Jesus is the answer. And if He's dealing with you, will you come? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word, where we're instructed of how to conduct ourselves in the church and the things that work in church. Lord, I pray that this message will serve to Your honor and to Your glory. And I pray that when the time comes and we seek out deacons, I pray You'll put men with willing hearts and desiring to serve and to honor You by serving. Lord, I love You. And I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.